Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, dear saints of God, and welcome to another Manna from Heaven broadcast. I'm sure that you are in agreement with the hymn, as am I. You take the world and everything it has to offer and just give me Jesus. I just want the Lord. Well, we're back in studio today to continue with this text. The text is Exodus chapter 3, verse 12. The series, again, is entitled The God of Ministerial Certainty. The God of Ministerial Certainty. The text reads, Exodus 3:12, and he, God, said, certainly I will be with thee. And this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth people out of Egypt, you shall serve me on this mountain. Lord, we come to you convinced that we are your people, adopted children, for it is our spirit or the Holy Spirit that cries within us, Abba, Father. Thank you, Lord, for saving us. Thank you, Lord, for redeeming us. Thank you, Lord, for protecting us. Thank you, Lord, for guiding us. Now, Lord, we pray, feed us, O Lord. Feed your people. We are your sheep, the sheep of your pasture. Feed us, O God, with that heavenly manna, that green grass spoken of in Psalm 23. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, luscious pastures, healthy pastures. nutrient fortified pastures. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Your word is so beneficial to us, Lord, that we dare not depart from your word. Bless us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen and amen. Last week, we talked about the God of divine certainty. We wanted to look at the text, and we discovered last week that, yes, you can count on God. He is certain. God is real. We know he's real because everything around us, everything we can see, everything we can touch, everything we can handle, was all brought into existence by the God of Scripture. The planet is certain. Creation is certain. What you're touching, what you're seeing with your natural eye is not a figment of your imagination. It's real. And it was produced by a real God. This week, we want to talk about the God of ministerial certainty. We know he's real. But is he real? Does he show himself to be real when one is in the ministry? In this text, again, look at the picture there. There is Moses before God. God is speaking to him out of the burning bush. And God says, certainly, certainly. What does certainly mean? Let's define certainty. Again, certainty, one, is the quality or state of being certain or sure. No, Moses was not imagining that God was talking to him from within the burning bush. He could see it. He drew near. Not only did he see with his own eyes, but then he heard the voice of God, and it was all real to him. So certainty is the state or quality of something being certain or sure. Number two, certainty can be defined as a fact that is true or an event that is definitely going to take place. God said to Moses, proof that I am certain. Here's the evidence that I am real, that you can count on me. Soon you will bring the people out of Egypt. And when you do, you will bring them to this mountain. And on this mountain where I am speaking to you from right now, from this very location, these people will worship me. They will be on their knees. They will be covering their faces the way you are right now. So, the God of ministerial certainty. He says to Moses, I will be with thee. This idea that God is going to be with the minister is so foundational. And this is where some ministers make it and some ministers don't. This is where some ministries are made and some ministries never take off. Some men of God know that they know that they know that they are on an errand for God. I know every place that I've ever been, every place that I've ever pastored or any ministry that I've ever taken over, I knew that I was there because God sent me. And if you know that you're there because God sent you, you know that you will have God's backing. This is why a man, a woman sent by God is a person who is sure of themselves. They fear nothing. They proceed slowly. They proceed carefully. They proceed with great wisdom. They proceed, again, minute by minute on the orders of God, but they're very, very, very confident because they know that they're on an errand from the Lord. When I was a little tyke, my grandmother used to send me on errands. And she would say to me, come over here And she would give me a note, and she would tell me, take it to so-and-so. And she says, and wait. They're going to read the note, and you wait there because they're going to give you something. And you bring that something back to me. That's what I did. I was always on an errand. Now, as soon as I got to the place, I knew that I had to wait. I knew that they were going to give me something. I knew that Grandma was at home waiting to receive what she sent me for. I was on an errand. Now, the people didn't pay me any mind. I mean, they weren't giving me stuff. They weren't reading my letter. They weren't handing me things because my name was on the note. They were handing me things because my grandmother's name was on the note. That's why I waited. They would say to me, okay, wait here. I'll be back shortly. And soon enough, whatever my grandmother asked for was put in my hands. And I would skip back home and bring it to Grandma. And she would say to me, good boy. And I was always sent on errands. Always. Little notes. Sometimes it was messages. I remember my grandmother sending me to the country store. And I would run up to the country store and I would say to the gentleman, let me have a pound of coffee, or let me have a pound of rice, or let me have a pound of baking ham or cooking ham. And the man would open up a notebook and he would look up my grandmother's name and put in pencil what was purchased and how much it cost. And then, again, it would be wrapped up in paper, handed to me from over the counter, and I would run home to bring Grandma what she asked for. Never was I sent on an errand by my grandmother, and I did not come back with what she was waiting for. I knew I was on an errand for her, and something was going to be given to me for me to bring back. God says to Moses, Moses, you're on an errand. I'm sending you to Egypt. You're going to bring my people out of bondage. You're going to bring them out. You're going to bring them to this mountain. They're going to worship me here. And here I will bless them and cause them to see my truth. My brothers and sisters, every minister is on an errand. Now, of course, some ministers only believe it theoretically. They have it in their heads, but they don't have it in their hearts. The ones that have it in their heads and in their hearts step out in faith. They go tell Satan, they go tell Pharaoh, let God's people go. Why? Because we know that God said that we are to enter into enemy territory. We're to enter spiritual Egypt. We're to tell spiritual Pharaoh. The Lord says, let his people go. And we know the proof of the matter is that we shall bring out a great host out of Egypt, and they will worship the Lord on this mountain. I am so confident that the Lord is going to fill up Grace Church. Why? Because I've been sent on an errand. And he, God, said, certainly I will be with thee. Now, my brothers and sisters, this is important. If we have God, we have everything. Think about it. Do I need money to do ministry? No. God sent Moses with no money. No money. There's no money involved. God didn't give him, he didn't say, here's a missionary offering, Moses. Now go. Moses left with no offering. He left with no funds. Did God give Moses a clerical shirt with a clerical collar and ministerial credentials and a ministerial ID? No. Did God send Moses with a team of people to support him? No. Did God send Moses with any kind of denominational backing? Were the Methodists backing Moses? Were the Baptists backing Moses? Were the Lutherans backing Moses? Were the Episcopalians supporting Moses? No. He left. Listen, Moses had no denominational backing. He had no team of ministers supporting him. He had no clothing. He had no outfit that would tell people, respect this man, he's a minister. He had no money. But he was sent of God, and if you're sent of the Lord on an errand, that's all you need. All you need is a name. Pharaoh says to Moses, what's the name of your God? And Moses said, his name is Elohim. And Pharaoh said, I don't know that name. And Moses said to him, by the time this is all said and done, you're going to know him for sure, because he's going to break Egypt. He's going to demolish Egypt. And his people shall come out as he said they would. So ministerial certainty gives man that is sent, or the woman that is sent, great courage. Great courage. Certainly, certainly, Moses, I will be with thee. Who will be with him? The God who put it all together. The God who said, let there be light, and there was light. The God who provided everything that this universe needed. Think about it. On the first day, what did God provide? On the second day, what did God provide? On the third and fourth and fifth and sixth day, God put it all together. He gave us great diversification. God began to declare things, and they began to appear. You see, that's all you need. All you need is that God to back you. And once you know he's backing you, you leave for ministry knowing that what he told you shall come to pass shall come to pass. The God of ministerial certainty is the God who removes all fear from the heart. You don't have to worry about a single thing. Just go. Go and do what he told you to do. Go and say what he told you to say. He will be with thee. Now, without this assurance, men and women who enter into the ministry are full with fear, full of dread, and know that they will soon fail. I've seen many of people take on different leadership roles in the kingdom of God. And I would ask them, how do you feel about your new position? I don't know. It's just a job. It's going to help me pay the bills. You mean you don't know if God sent you to do this? No, there's just an opening, and I needed a job. I need to put so-and-so through college, or I need to, I got two kids in private school, and I needed a job, so I took it. Those types of ministers fail because they haven't heard from God. They haven't been sent of God. They don't have divine reassurance. They haven't heard his voice. They don't have a command. He has not sent them. Jeremiah says, these prophets go to you, prophets who I did not send. And when they open their mouths, they prophesy lies. That was the ruin of Israel and Judah, that she had prophets that opened their mouths and God had not sent them. When you know God has sent you, you can be certain you will be successful. We're going to leave it there. the man, the woman that knows God has sent them, fear nothing, worry about nothing, and are sure they have God's backing. I'll be back tomorrow with part two of The God of Ministerial Certainty. I want to close today's broadcast with the song, Revive Us Again. Don't forget, Saints, tomorrow at 6:55 p.m., the most important service at Grace Church, which is our prayer meeting. You don't want to miss the half hour of instruction and the 1 hour of prayer. Join us tomorrow at 6:55. May the Lord continue to bless you, and tune in tomorrow for part number two. God bless you.
Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, Lord of glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, Lord of glory. Thine the glory.